All right, we're starting off this episode of Yolitics with some trivia. Want to do some trivia?
If you have the answer, I don't. No.
I think actually I've given you these answers, but the question is, did you read them
you
when I sent you the
answers.
Research? I did, actually.
Well, I'm curious now.
All right. So we all know, I mean, this one's not
do
hard
we,
for anybody.
Jason, do
yeah,
we?
I think this
do
one's an easy
know?
One. Which state in this country has the most people locked up in prisons?
Texas.
I think everybody
yeah,
knows
11%,
that.
11%. Yeah. 11% of the prison population
see?
Is in Texas.
See? 11.4%. Percent
see?
Of the prison population is in Texas. Here's the other part of my trivia. Do you know how much it costs on average to lock up somebody in a Texas
how
prison
much?
For a year?
Don't know.
What would be your guess?
Well, I'm just thinking on average, what do we pay for education in the state? $6,500 a student? Is it more than that?
Oh, it's going to be more
is
than that.
Is it more than $6,500?
It's interesting that we will, yeah, we'll pay a lot more to lock somebody up than we
will to educate them.
To educate them. Well, you got prison guards and so forth. What would you guess?
$50,000?
No, it's not that much. You're like my wife. She always guesses
well,
way
you're,
out.
Yeah, you're throwing it out. They're like, what
way
you
out of bounds.
No, you're way out of, yeah. $1 million, what?
All right, so according to the Legislative Budget Board here in Texas last year, Texas spends more than $28,000 a year on the average
wow.
Texas inmate.
Per
That's
year.
That's a ton of money per year.
Yeah.
We know that recidivism is a thing, people being reincarcerated
sure.
after they get out. And there is a program here that has been around since 2004 that a lot of people don't know about, and it just sort of happens in the shadows, and they are doing work that is producing some pretty amazing results, and today we've got them on with us.
So, but they've been around since 2004. You're just
since
now finding 2004. Out about this?
Oh, no, I've known about this for a long
well,
time.
Why have you been holding out for us
Let's
here,
do
man.
Some more trivia. When's the first time that I did something on this?
This episode. This
More
this
than
episode.
A decade ago.
More than a decade ago?
More than a decade
really?
Ago.
Really? Well, and so you've been
one
holding
of these
out
days,
for all these years?
One of these days you're going to catch up to me, Jason.
If you're who I'm catching up to, then I'll slow walk that one.
So we got Michael Etchison, the Executive Relations Manager with the Prison Entrepreneurship Program here in Texas with us. That's what it's called, PEP for short.
Yes.
Michael, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thank you for having me. It's a joy being here.
You said you've done more podcasts. Have you ever been to a brewery to do a podcast though?
I have not.
Oh, but this is a first
I have
then.
Not.
Okay.
So this is a first.
Michael's a veteran of podcasts. He's done a number of them, and we're hoping he might teach us something about doing podcasts.
Let me tell you what else is a first. We're at Manhattan Project
Beer Company.
Beer uh-huh. Company.
Yes.
One of our favorite places where we do a lot of episodes.
Yeah.
Shout out to these guys.
Oh, it's a phenomenal place.
And
it
nobody's
is.
Having any beer.
No, we're all having coffee, including you.
And I am, because I don't want to be the only guy having a beer here.
So this was peer pressure.
This was 100% peer pressure.
Wow, peer pressure that goes the opposite direction.
Yeah.
And
imagine
makes you have coffee
is
instead
it, is
of beer.
Is it opposite? But tell us, one reason I think we're having coffee, too, is...
Mm-hmm.
You
yes.
have a background in coffee.
So it's kind of your business.
Yes,
Tell us
do.
About this, though. Separate from the Prison Entrepreneurship Program, right?
Well, it started because of the
this
Prison
is what
Entrepreneurship
came out. Okay.
Program.
All right.
Yeah, actually, during my time of incarceration as a participant, you have to come up with a business plan in the program. And my business plan was a coffee shop.
Yeah, you've told me
it
before
was
coffee is your jam.
Coffee is my jam. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's a universal language. It's
sure
a way
is.
To connect everybody, right? Coffee shops or the Manhattan Beer Project.
Which has a coffee shop.
And they have
their coffee
here, too, though. Yeah,
it's very good.
It's somewhere where people come to meet. It's surrounded by community,
yeah.
right? And that's what I truly wanted was something that was surrounded by community where people can come together, connect. You have your first date at a coffee shop.
You're right.
You can discuss business ideas, sign contracts. Your life would change at a coffee shop, and that's truly what I wanted.
But I like that.
I also wanted it to be something that will make an impact within the community, not only providing you with the location to go, and of course, no brick and mortar or e-commerce, but with it being universal, it allows me to reach so many different types of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll partner with the nonprofit every other month throughout the year, and that nonprofit I partner with gets 10% of proceeds made from bags of coffee sold.
Wow, you're doing some real good. You're yes. in 8 states now in Canada, and the name of it is?
Cream Coffee and Pastry.
Coffee and pastry.
8 states in Canada.
Yes, I've been able to ship.
That's fantastic.
Individuals.
Sure.
I have my clients. Yeah, so that is big.
And
that
this is straight out of what you learned when you were locked up in a Texas
it
prison.
Is. Yes, it is. And I'll tell you this, and this is funny to me I have my associate's degree in business whenever I was released, but I learned more about business going through PEP than what I actually did.
What?
Going to a school, you know, that...
How so? Because you heard from the business executives or what?
I got the advice from the business executives, the mentorship, the leadership. They were just very, very honest. It was more, I guess you could say, hands-on.
Mm-hmm. Less theory, just, more practice. Then,
exactly.
And they'll tell you if your idea needs some polish.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Yeah.
They're very honest.
And these are
very blunt.
And you all have, like, cream of the crop business leaders who are coming in behind the razor wire, talking to inmates about their business plans that they've come up with, you know, in the prison entrepreneurship program, and really helping them to refine things with the goal of... We're going to help you when you transition out of this place and head back into society again.
Yes.
And we're going to help you to be a success.
Yes. And that's the other thing, too. And as I mentioned to you, it's crazy to me, the individuals that me as a participant and the other brothers and everybody involved in it, who you get to come across, and the advice that you get to get from these certain type of individuals. Business owners, people that are very successful, provided me with all that they've learned and gained over the years of operating their business. There's no better wisdom or knowledge that you can get than somebody that's been hands-on, right? Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing.
Let's zoom out here, because I think what's, you know, people might be listening to the episode and say, oh, yeah, I've heard all about these prison programs, et cetera. There's a few differences here about this.
Yes.
And that is, you guys recruit a number of different inmates, and those inmates don't stay in the facility they're in. They go to another facility in Cleveland, Texas, just put off of 59 or Interstate 69, I think they call it.
Houston and Estes.
Northeast of
Estes.
Yeah,
yes,
northeast of Houston there, and they under. I mean, they go through this. They go through a real program while still locked up, not in their own place.
Yes.
You know, this is something you really have to qualify for.
And they're in pods there, so they are you know, sort of sequestered together, and you refer to them as brothers, and it really does become a brotherhood.
It is. It's family. It is my brotherhood. You know, if you think of any, you know, if you was ever involved in any college fraternity or, you know, any group such as that nature, like this is us. I'm connected with the individuals that was part of the very first class of PEP, right? And we're all here to help each other out. And the big thing is, we will be transferred from all over the state of Texas, right?
If you qualify.
Yes, which that's not easy neither. It's like a 15-page application?
You got to really want it.
Yeah.
You do. You have to truly want it. So you got to go through the application. You got to be accepted. And then you got to complete a couple correspondence courses after that. So you have about 3 correspondence courses that you have to complete. And then
at a university somewhere or what?
Baylor University is who we are partnering with when it comes to the curriculum.
Okay.
Yes.
And you actually get a certificate of entrepreneurship from Baylor when you complete the program.
You do.
That's not shabby.
It's amazing. Mine's sitting up framed on my wall right now, right?
but Michael, walk us through who can and who cannot participate in prison, because you think of state prisons, you think of the worst of the worst.
Right.
Who can, who cannot participate in this?
So we accept everybody except anybody with a sexual offense, right? The reason why is we are based off of community. My kids come around these brothers. You know, we do have a very large amount of female volunteers.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of the safety reasons, right? Now, not saying somehow in the future that may not change, because everybody needs help. Mm-hmm. You know, but as of where we've been at the last 22 years, as long as you don't have a sexual offense, you are invited to come.
And how many people apply? And you only accept, what, 60? Is that right?
So each class, we have 3 classes a year.
Uh-huh.
We have 3 classes a year. Typically start out with about between 100 and 110 guys. And we typically have a good 65 to 75 graduate.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yes.
But how many apply system-wide in TDCJ? How many inmates apply?
So we're able to reach about 800 guys a year. Yes.
But that's changing.
That is changing.
Okay, so now, and I think a lot of people may not be aware of this, when you enter TDCJ now, you get a tablet.
Yes.
Is that right? Okay. So you've got a secure tablet that they issue you.
Yes, you do. The internet is secured. So, yeah. Back in the day, they used to give you a Bible.
Right.
Right. 2026. You
Wheeler
know,
says right like he knows here. Yeah,
yeah,
like,
yeah. Absolutely. Yes.
He's yeah. been there. Right. I know. I see it.
I have actually been on the inside to see what you all do. Yes. And it was fascinating being there for that and meeting the guys who were, I mean, these guys were thirsty for knowledge about the outside. I wasn't the one presenting to them there,
you'd have an offer. I mean,
what advice am I going to give, you know? But they were picking my brain about all kinds of different things.
Mm. Yes.
Even though I was just there as an observer to do a story on it. Yeah. And so it is a hungry group of guys who want something better for themselves. So you get this tablet now when you come into TDCJ.
Yes.
PEP is on the tablet. So that just gives you an idea. This is a political podcast, obviously. Mm-hmm. Gives you an idea that, you know, in a bipartisan way, this state has been like, yeah, we like what this is doing, and we want more of it.
Yes, that is very
true. And, you know, there have been proclamations from the legislature about the work that you all have done. Mm-hmm. So you're going to be in front of a lot more eyeballs in Texas prisons going forward.
Lot more. So, as I was saying, you know, typically we can reach like 800 guys a year, right? With our curriculum being on the tablet, you have, I believe the correct number is around 135,000 people incarcerated in the state of Texas right now, as of today. That's 135,000 individuals that has access to us. Which once they are released, now not everybody will be transferred to our campus, as I call it. But when they are released, they do have the opportunity to come and knock on our door. They have the opportunity to join into our Big Aspirations program, of course, that we have going on. And that provides them with the opportunity to actually get a loan from our sister company, Entree Capital.
Mm-hmm. See, and that's part of it, is that you're not just telling people in prison, hey, develop a business plan, and when you get out, we're going to dump you out, and you're just going to go make that happen with whatever resources you can scrounge up. You all have actually created a fund to help fund some of these ideas, and to date have given out quite a bit of money.
We have. A little over $2 million. So Entree Capital started in 6 years ago. 6 years ago, as I can't subtract right now. So 6 years ago.
Strong coffee. No, strong coffee.
He is having Vietnamese coffee, which is a strong one.
Entree Capital started 6 years ago, and it does provide a way for you to gain business loans or even grants. They provided me with the grant to start my business, right?
So you don't have to pay it back. That's great.
No, I don't have. Yeah, that's free money.
Sure.
As I was saying, you know, free food and free money, you got me.
Yeah.
I'm there. I'm present. And it provides a way for all of us, not only just men, but for women who have a criminal history, to actually get the funding to start a business. It's life-changing.
Mm-hmm. It's true. How many inmates, though, in Texas are true entrepreneurs, though? It's hard to start a business. Business plans can be tricky. You got to have some type of structure when you get off the ground, though. But
yes,
I mean, is there that much real interest in this?
Well, a lot of us were entrepreneurs before we went to prison.
That should be the title of this podcast.
So,
in a different way.
That's great, though.
Right? So the energy is there, right? Knowing logistics is present, right? Because a lot of, even if you're doing negativity out there with, you know, in a negative way, I still need to know logistics. I still need to know how to get from point A to point B. I still need to have an understanding of my profit margin. So a lot of it is present. It's just the fact that we are directing it in a negative direction, right? I tell the brothers all the time, and this is something that, you know, even myself that I live up to, you know, same hustle, different product, right?
Same hustle, different product. Daryl, write that down.
The same hustle, different product. That's
now,
our title.
Exactly. Yeah. Now it's just, you know, it's a little more knowledge and experience we can gain from our executive volunteers that come in and actually teach it to us.
So I want to come back to that, though, because, you know, so you're going to be in front of so many more people. Not everybody is going to be an entrepreneur. Not everybody has the skills or is cut out for that. But what you all do is you're not just teaching somebody to be an entrepreneur. You're also teaching them to skill up for jobs when they get out. And then PEP helps to place people in those jobs.
Yes.
And I was just talking to your executive director the other day, and it was stunning. Mm-hmm. A 100% job placement rate.
Yes.
Within the first 3 weeks or so of an inmate mm-hmm. being released back out into society.
Yes, it
that is life changing.
It is. It's kind of just mind-blowing, honestly. 100% employment rate. Yeah, like that is crazy. And I have a background. As I was saying, I had a job. I had a job before I made it to one of our transitional houses.
Wow.
When you were still in the system.
I just left out of prison.
Yeah.
I had a job about an hour later.
How big is that when you're coming out? Because it's intimidating. A lot of people wouldn't think about this. It's intimidating to get out of prison.
Yes, it is. Very intimidating. And then let alone I got to go and I got to fill out this paperwork and I got to tell you my background history, and I know for a fact that you're not going to hire me because I made a mistake in my past. It's intimidating. You know, it does cause people to want to lie on the applications. Mm. That's something else that we help. It's, you know, the character development. Don't lie. Just be honest. Just tell them up front, right?
Own your story.
Own it. I don't want to waste your time. Don't waste my time. But
you've been turned down for jobs over the years that were 100% remote.
I have.
You were going to work from home.
Work from home. Never have to talk to nobody in front of a TV, a computer screen, right?
Wow.
And I've been turned down because of my criminal history.
It's hard to get past the stigma.
It is.
And that's where you all come in, because you bring a credibility for having been around for so long and created this great accountability among the men you serve. And so now companies recognize that.
Yes.
I mean, you were telling me about a warehouse company, I believe it was, that has 100% PEP employees.
All PEP brothers. Yes, and that was a big blessing. You know, I actually met this individual through LinkedIn. Hmm. And we had a meeting, and we discussed a few things, you know, as far as the operations of the warehouse and how many guys do they need. And he said, look, you know, I need 10 guys. Well, boom, sent him 10 guys. He hired them on the spot. And paying them more than minimum wage, you know, and even gave some of the guys, you know, a driver position, which provided them with even more increase in pay. And getting ready to open up another warehouse in Oklahoma, I believe, where he wants all PEP guys in that one.
Wow.
So everybody does not become an entrepreneur, but we have the best intrapreneurs that you will ever come across. Hmm. They work harder.
And they've created hundreds of businesses to date, and a lot of those are million-dollar-plus businesses, chunk of them.
They are. Over 700 businesses. This is the beautiful thing.
Wait,
about
over 700 businesses have earned more than a million?
No, over 700 businesses being created through PEP alumni.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And a lot of them go back and hire new graduates from the program.
They do. They do, which is a big blessing, because this is providing additional opportunity, right? These brothers are opening up their arms, opening up their wallet, and providing a way for somebody that's been in their position to make a good living, right?
So let's ask about this. So we were getting into the numbers here. Last year, y'all had a record number of graduates. I think it was close to 500. This year, you're expecting another record, 700.
Yes.
But then we talked about those tablets that you're on, and you're in front of so many more people in the prison system. You all are thinking you're going to go from perhaps a record number of 700 graduates this year in 5 years from now to 10 times that or more.
Yes sir.
So we're talking thousands of graduates.
We're talking thousands, and that's due to the tablets. It provided us with a way to reach out to more people, and of course for these individuals that need the help to reach out to us. Past, you know, 800 guys were able to reach out with the tablets. You know, you can project us to be able to make contact with 10,000 different individuals in the coming years. That's a lot. It's mind-blowing.
And now usually you all do this by reaching out to, you know, part of the eligibility is that you've got to be within like 3 years or so of your release date.
Of your release date,
okay,
correct.
Because you don't want to teach somebody something and then have them sit there for another 10, 15 years before they get out. So you're catching people, you know, close to that release date.
Right.
But now there's this expansion going on
where
you're dealing with people who have much longer sentences,
yes.
but they're within 4 years of parole now.
Correct.
And I think that, you know, a lot of people miss that. Texas every year, your executive director was telling me that Texas releases about 45,000 people on parole every year.
Yes.
and now you're getting into this population that you know was about to be released and you know may not have any upskilling or anything and be ready to contribute. Right. And now you can reach them as well as right. they're on their way out.
And that's provided so much motivation and encouragement for these brothers. You know, the cool thing about that is these new little programs that we've started with you having to be within 4 years of your actual parole date for the ones who have a longer sentence. It's mostly peer driven. Mostly peer driven. Our staff will go in, provide them with what they need as far as, you know, this is what we're focused on this week. This is what we need to do. And the guys run it pretty much themselves. They just had their business pitch competition, right? And I wasn't present for it, but from what I heard, it was absolutely amazing.
Yeah, like, now, what were some business ideas? I mean, what are they talking about there?
Oh, it's so different. Everything is different. Me, of course, coffee. That was sure. mine. You have brothers that have trucking businesses. We have a brother that has an ice cream shop, right? I don't know why I always find this funny to me is, you know, you can have somebody that's been out in the streets for a very long period of time, and not saying that this brother did, but you can cause so much mayhem, but your passion is ice cream, right? That's my passion. I'm 6'3", 250 pounds, and all I want to do is sell ice cream. Yeah. That's it. That's all I want to do. And he's doing very good at it.
Huh. Wow.
The brother's doing amazing.
Well, it just tells you, too, that people are more complex than whatever they did on their worst day, you know?
Exactly.
You're a more whole person than that. You have other things that matter to you, things that have interested you, that you dreamt of being. You know, you got derailed, but that doesn't mean you can't be that still.
Exactly. And it's also us being able to provide a community to where these brothers can actually open up. You can share your passion with me, and I'm not going to make fun of you, right?
Right.
I mean, I share some stuff with my siblings, and I get made fun of right now, right?
Yeah. So, which is weird. You would think that you would be made fun of. You'd be much more likely to be made fun of in prison for sharing
prison,
something like
right?
that, you
exactly.
know?
But it's the community we've been able to develop. Open up. Tell us your dreams. Tell us your passion. And let's put in action. Let's start making this actually happen, and I'm going to walk alongside with you.
Michael, tell us your story. How'd you end up in prison?
So I've always been on that wrong side of the fence, in the streets every way possible. And I thought that was just life, right? That's what I grew up around. That's honestly what I felt like. Okay, so everybody does this. This is what I'm supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't understand the concept of having a job and waiting for a paycheck and all this stuff like that. And, you know, we moved to Texas, me and my family, we moved to Texas for me to actually change my life. My ex-wife now, she came home, she worked, she comes from an amazing family, came home, she was like, look, your sons want to know why you have all this money, but you never go to work, right? So what are you going to tell them? You need to make a change. And I'm like, well, I'm not getting a job. not here, not in Illinois. And so we decided to come to Texas. We came to Texas actually one time to visit. I remember I told her, I said, well, we'll just move to Texas. And of course she's like, no, we're not. You're just lying, right? So I showed up with a 20-foot U-Haul one time, and then we loaded up the house, and then we came to Texas. And we came to Texas again, as I said, to change my life. But that wasn't the case. I kept the same mentality, right? I kept the same behaviors up. And of course, you know, as they say, don't mess with Texas. I got arrested. Now, you know, the crazy part about it, you know, you get arrested in Illinois, and I'm like, well, it's cool. I stay a weekend. They're going to let me out Monday or something like that, right? It's no problem. In Texas, they was like, well, 18 years.
Don't.
I said, well, hold on.
Wait.
What were you charged with? What were you charged
with? Exactly. Aggravated assault. Yeah.
And so, obviously, that's a wake-up call if you get a sentence like that.
It is. A lot of emotions came with that, right? Because I had 5 kids at the time. Well, still have 5 kids, right? And my youngest, she was a baby. She was like 2 years old, right? And I'm sitting here thinking, like, I'm there's a chance that I'll never ever see my kids again. There's a chance that I will never ever be able to touch them or hug them, kiss them on the cheek, or just smell their scent, right? Mm-hmm. Or even hear their voice other than hearing it crackle over a phone or, you know, in a room full of other people meeting their family.
That's harsh.
I'm never going to see them graduate, never see my kids play sports. It was a lot of emotions. And I stayed in myself for like 2 days straight, right? Because what am I doing with my life? Mm.
And how long did you serve?
5 years.
Okay.
Yes, 5 years.
And then you found this in there.
At what point did you find this in there, though?
So I found this about, what was I, probably about 3 years within my sentence.
And then how'd you know this was it, that this is what you wanted to concentrate on?
At first, I didn't know nothing about PEP.
Yeah.
And it was actually my cellie. Mm-hmm. Let's not use him as an example.
Your cellie.
I love the brother. Yeah. He's a good brother. And he told me, he said, Mike, don't take me as an example. I'm different, right? But I get the postcard in, the invitation. You know, you get a postcard. Hey, would you like to come to PEP? Do you have a business idea? We'll write us back within this time frame, and we'll send you an application. And that's pretty much how it goes. And my cellular roommate at the time, he said, man, you have to do that. He's like, I've been through it. It's amazing. It's honestly life-changing. But then again, he was like, but don't use me as an example, because I can't do it, right?
Yeah.
And I said, okay. And he told me about the past CEO, which that really got my attention too, right? PEP is such an amazing program, or something to be a part of. Our past CEO did like 22 years in prison. Hmm. Got accepted to PEP, made parole, but told parole that he does not want to go home yet because he wants to complete PEP.
Wow.
I'm thinking to myself, like,
keep me locked up so I can finish this.
And I'm like, this brother is crazy. Like, he a madman. This is like just ridiculous. But he did. He completed it. And, you know, a couple years later, he became the CEO. And now he's still doing amazing things. So for anybody to want to stay in prison, I'm like, I have to try this.
Wow.
I have to try.
And then talk to us about the business executives that would come speak to you.
Yes.
What kind of industries would these people represent? And did you really think, when you're locked up, when you're wearing the jumpsuit, that you could really achieve business success by hearing somebody else who's been to college and done all this other stuff?
So at first, every program, you kind of have a thought in your mind, like, well, what is the reason? Why are you doing this? Mm-hmm. Why are you coming to prison?
Sure.
You know, is it to make yourself feel good? Mm-hmm. Is it to pat yourself on the back? And it's truly not. Not with our executive volunteers. They really come in because they care about us, mm-hmm. right? They provided me with the motivation and the encouragement to let me know that I can achieve whatever I set my mind to, right? And I know that they got my back. I can call them anytime, any day, any night, and I can ask for advice, and they are going to provide it to me, mm-hmm. right? No matter what it is, no matter absolutely what
it is.
Have
you done that?
I have.
Really?
I have, yeah. I have a few mentors.
So they don't just come in and speak. Right. They create connections with you guys.
It's connections. And that's the other beautiful thing about PEP, too, is so our volunteers, they work with us on the inside, and they continue working with us on the outside. Mm-hmm. So you get in some programs, you see the volunteers on the inside, and you never see them again in your life. Mm-hmm. Or you see them on the outside, and then that's kind of it. When you're done, you're done.
And the volunteers, it can be anybody from a certain walk of life who has expertise in something.
Yes.
So, you know, if somebody out there is thinking about volunteering, they may not realize that they've got a skill to impart or some wisdom to impart.
Yes.
If they're looking, you know, for a way to do that,
yes.
you guys might be it. I was there covering a woman we called Miss Manners. She was an etiquette.
I remember that story.
Yeah, etiquette expert. Yeah.
That was a decent story, man.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. That's high praise coming from you.
I remember that story. Yeah, he did a decent job on that.
Miss Manners goes to prison, I think we called it.
He had help with that, but he did a good job.
I did have help with it. but basically, she was teaching these inmates, here's the fork you eat with first when you go to a dinner. Yeah. Here's, you know, try out some lines on me of if you wanted to ask me out on a date, because a lot of you have been locked up for a long time and, you know, may not really have that skill polished, you know.
Right.
And, I mean, she went through all of the different mannerisms. Put your napkin in your lap. Here's how you shake a hand. Here's how you present a business card. And, you know, all of that stuff so many of us take for granted, even though I still don't know which fork to use first.
Neither do I.
But all of us, you know, may take that for granted, but that just gives you an idea. Mm. You guys get down to the real nitty-gritty with teaching this. And I say you guys, and we keep talking about the brothers, the men, et cetera. Mm-hmm. You all also help women who have been through the prison system. Now, the dynamics are different because of the units that they're in and so forth. And so basically you've set it up to where women who've gotten out can become part of the prison entrepreneurship program, go through the program, and even get, you know, some of the funding to help start their businesses too. So this is available to men and women.
It is available to men and women. This, you know, this is the other amazing thing. So we, our CDFI, Entree Capital, is, and I could be wrong, hopefully none of the viewers quote me on this. So Entree Capital is one of a kind. We only provide business loans and grants to individuals that has a felony. So you have to have a felony in order to get a loan from us. On the outside, of course, that's men and women. It doesn't matter your gender. If you've been incarcerated, if you've been in trouble, you can come. You can, you know, we can work with you, and we'll be able to help you make your dreams come true. So that's either, again, starting a business or growing your business, scaling your business.
What is the recidivism rate for you guys?
7% is what we average. For the individuals that actually go through the 12-week course and stay at the transitional houses, it drops down to 4%.
That's after they get out?
That's after they get out,
so correct. 4% recidivism if 4%. I stay in that house after prison and make that transition.
And now, the state average is what? I mean,
15. The last was 15.7%, and I think that number I have is correct.
I hope it is.
15.7% recidivism. And so you're talking about just overall, yours is less than half of that. Less than half of what the state rate is.
Well, this is something else that's kind of amazing, too, is our recidivism rate for the individuals that start their business. And again, that's 700-plus businesses. The recidivism rate is 0%.
0%.
If you graduate from the program and start a business, the recidivism rate is 0%?
0%, yes, sir.
I mean, that's incredible. I haven't heard of another program that's even close to that.
That is an extraordinary boast to be able to make.
It is, and I love saying these numbers, too, as well. So I can sit here and throw the stats around for PP all day long.
What do you want to tell Texas taxpayers about this program? Is any of this funded by taxpayer money? And secondly, what would you tell them about this? Because they've heard a pretty good message here.
Right.
Is there something behind the curtain we don't know?
Right. Our funding doesn't come from taxpayers. It actually comes from our trusted and very dedicated volunteers and donors.
A lot of them are people who've been through the program.
A good percentage of the financial support that we get are from our alumni. Our alumni come back, they come and give back.
Yeah.
Not only jobs, but they're helping us out, you know, with the financial support as well, which that's kind of unheard of, too, whenever you look at other organizations. Taxpayers, what was it? Last year, 2025, I believe we saved close to $2 million in tax money.
How
right?
so?
From keeping these brothers out of incarceration. Right, from getting them home, providing them with what they need, and keeping them away from the prison system.
If they don't go back, we're not paying that $28,000 plus per year to rehouse them.
Exactly.
And the 700 businesses, sorry to interrupt there, the 700 businesses, does that represent 700 different graduates?
Yes.
So it is 700 graduates.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Just 700 businesses. And as far as the revenue that we've been able to put back into the economy, last year, I want to say the number was around $122 million.
What?
$122 million we've been able to put back into the economy.
And that's broken out from these businesses operating plus people hiring employees or what?
Correct. Correct. It's covering all that.
And on that note of taxpayers, another member of your leadership team was saying basically you all are taking people who are using a significant amount of tax money and turning them out into society to pay taxes.
Right, right.
Working jobs, owning businesses, and paying taxes,
and paying taxes
instead of using taxes.
Yes, exactly. So it's a 100% overall turnaround. You know, you're on a completely other side of the fence. Yeah, it feels so good to be a law-abiding citizen. I will tell you that.
Yeah.
Even though I don't like the taxes.
Yeah,
it's, nobody
taxes
does.
Hurt.
Yeah.
I know.
We don't either.
But I don't know. I enjoy seeing it come out of my check, right?
There's some because it lets you know that, man, I'm on a whole different path now.
Oh, a totally different path.
Let me ask you this. So this sounds like something that states would salivate over. You know, states perhaps that even have less of a population than Texas does, that it's incarcerated. You all have actually gotten interest from other states and have inspired some other states to start their own programs.
Yes.
And it doesn't just end in the United States. You're getting
Correct.
Interest from places around the world about what
yes.
you're doing in Texas prisons.
Yes, correct. So we do have a good handful of other states that truly want us to come and get involved with them. And then, of course, yes, all around the world. As you were speaking of Chris, our CEO, he was contacted by Australia.
Wow.
Right? I know at one point we were contacted by the United Kingdom.
And these are people who are saying, what's your blueprint? How do you do this? We want some of that magic.
Yeah, how are you being so successful? What are you guys doing? What are you providing these guys that we're not? You know, we have 35 employees.
That's it.
35 employees. And I believe the exact number is like 30 of us have all been incarcerated.
Wow.
What do we have what other people don't have is that we have the experience. We know what it's like being locked up. I know what your kids feel like every single night. I know what your wife feels like if you're married, your parents, your brothers, your sisters, your whole family. I have an understanding of what it's like. And that's where my passion comes from. I don't want your kids to feel like that. You know, mm-hmm. I love you and your family, even if I don't know your whole family, but I love you and I want them to be proud of you and I want you to feel good about being a father. Right.
And the last thing I'd ask is, you know, there are probably dozens of programs in Texas prisons.
Yes.
That help prepare inmates for when they get released.
Yes.
How do you think yours is so different, though? Is it the entrepreneurship or is it something else?
It's everything. It's the passion that we bring into it. My favorite saying is purpose over profit, right? It is something that we love to do with everybody on the team. We live and breathe PEP. We live and breathe benefiting somebody else. And then it's also the encouragement from the executives, the volunteers, you know, all these individuals that are involved.
But that seems like, I feel like I've heard that from a number of different programs, though, but yours with a 0% recidivism rate for people who
yes.
start their own businesses, I haven't heard that before.
Yes. What's the support, too, as well, and the mentorship? I'm incarcerated. You come in. You provide me with all that you know. I'm going to see you on the outside. I'm going to be like, my brother, I want to start this business. Can you walk with me? And you walk with me, and you provide me with that support of all that I need. Make this business successful. The support is everything. The community is everything.
And that doesn't exist with other programs?
So I've been through a few other programs, and I've never been involved in anything that's like PEP, right? The community is everything, too. You know, we stick together. Our volunteers go to our transitional houses, and they feed the guys, and they fellowship with them, and they just sit and talk, right? So it is it's a strong connection.
Wow.
It's a very strong
connection.
And maintaining
that connection is key, because a lot of these people before they got to prison may have never had that kind of connection of people who understand them, who advise them, who mentor them, who keep them accountable, because that's a part of it as well.
That's a big thing.
And now you've created this network where, you know, once I get out of prison and I start on this path, I'm going to have difficult days where maybe I, you know, start to feel like I'm questioning things or reverting back. And I've got people now who are going to hold me accountable and who get what I'm going through.
Correct.
My last thing for you would be, you know, Texas has always called itself, you know, this, you know, law and order state. And, you know, as you mentioned, Texas doesn't play around when it comes to locking up.
No,
you know,
don't.
You've seen it. You've
I've
lived
felt it.
There are a lot of people in this state who are, you know, especially with, you know, some of these bigger offenses. And, I mean, I met a lot of guys in the program, and they had some serious offenses.
Yes.
There are a lot of people who say, throw away the key. You know, lock them up, throw away the key. I don't care about them. I don't care what happens with them, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact of the matter is that most of these inmates mm-hmm. will get out at some point.
Correct.
And it's a question, isn't it, of how do you want them to come back?
Correct.
It's not whether you want them to come back. It's how do you want them to come back?
Correct. Now, do we want to be, you know, part of the solution when these brothers actually come home? Do we want to open up our hearts and our minds and realize that people can change? Or do we want them to come home and then have to struggle and really live to survive on a daily basis, right? Do we want our society to be safer? Because if so, and then we all need to be involved. Or do we want our society to continue to be, you know, a little more dangerous walking from the grocery store to your car, mm-hmm. right? There's so much potential behind those walls. 10% of the nation's entrepreneurs have a criminal history.
10%?
10% of the nation's entrepreneurs has a criminal history.
Because isn't it almost easier to start your own business than to get a job in some cases if you have a history?
It is. It truly is. I don't have to fill out the paperwork. I don't have to really, you know, inform you of anything unless I want to voluntarily. I can just come, provide my service, provide my product if I have a product to sell, and then move on, right?
That's a good point. But what you all are aiming to do, though, is to say that this can be a law and order state, but at the same time, we can do something to make sure that people who are coming out of the system are ready to be back out in the streets and back out in society again.
Exactly. But that does take all of us, right? It does take all of us coming together. So,
Michael, congratulations, man. I mean, it's fascinating to hear about this. And, you know, Wheeler and I are a little long in the tooth. We've been doing this for a couple of minutes. And I've heard about a lot of programs, but the recidivism rate here is fascinating.
Thank you.
Secondly, starting businesses. My wife has several businesses. I know how hard it is. It's hard to do.
It is.
And, you know, compound that with what you guys have experienced and what you've gone through. People say, hey, but they put themselves there. Regardless, you're still trying to build out of that.
Yes.
And, you know, that deserves a toast. My glass is empty, though, so next time.
So is mine. See, the coffee wasn't bad, was it?
Coffee's good here, man.
Really
great.
Good.
It is, Manhattan it is Project good
coffee. And Michael will be the first to tell you that coffee is important.
How can people find your company, by the way?
So, creamcoffee.shop. You can go online.
Creamcoffee.shop.
Creamcoffee.shop. You can place your orders. I got many different roasts, many different blends. Whatever you like, I believe I have to fulfill your needs.
All right.
Yeah. I love it.
Congratulations, man. This is it's fantastic to hear about this. And I didn't know you guys have been around for 22 years now, but that's incredible.
Yeah.
And congrats personally to you for this,
you.
Man. So keep up the great work on this.
Huge congrats. And I did know that you all have been around for a long time because I did that research. And it's been interesting as someone who caught y'all midway along your journey here, you know, like a dozen years ago or so. It's been interesting to see how it has grown since then.
Yeah. Yes.
And stunning to hear what you all are planning in the next 5 years or so. I mean,
yes.
This is going to be huge. I don't know how y'all are going to do it. You're going to need a lot more volunteers.
Yeah, I mean, you two are going to have to come into prison. And
hey, I'm willing to do it.
Wheeler could end up there involuntarily, too. You never know with Wheeler. So.
Well, look, if it's involuntarily, look, we got a loan for you.
Right? Yeah, and there's a program for me waiting. Exactly. Yeah. Let's hope it doesn't happen that way. Michael, thank you.
Yes, thank you. Appreciate you guys.